Because a lot of the times the way that I project myself is not the way that I really am. It's just that things get in me sometimes. I wonder, I say, God, why did you call me? What purpose? I mean, I am not a prototype of anybody or anything, and I don't understand, Lord, why you've called me and put a message in me of heaviness and hardness, and why, Lord, you've put this in me. You let me see things and you bring it up, and then I get condemned on myself, and I have to fast and get cleaned up, and then, Lord, it seems like I'm going along pretty good, and then there it is again. And so, as I ask the Lord that, all I ever hear is simply this: you'll do it. You'll say it. I think it's a message that a lot of people are given, but because of its harshness and its heaviness, few really say it. I'm going to show you something in just a few moments as we look through the feast and let you see something that ties right into where we're at right now in this Feast of Israel that we're looking at, the unleavened bread. If you have your sheets that I gave you last week, I'm going to be reading. I'm not going to use it, so I'm just going to read the scripture from Psalms 89:15 at the bottom. Just start with that particular passage of scripture. Psalms 89:15 from the Amplified Bible says this: blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. You are blessed and happy and fortunate if you understand the symbolisms that are in the Feast of Israel. We've been looking at the Feast of Israel, and this is the seventh message in this series, and we're now on the second feast, and the second message concerning the second feast, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. A couple weeks ago, we looked at it, and we opened it up, and we saw a lot of things, and really projected that thought on a level that anybody in the sanctuary could understand. And it was simply, let's get our act cleaned up. Let's get our homes cleaned up. Let's get the dirty magazines out. Let's get the dirty television out. Let's do some work in our literal physical houses. We know that leaven should not be in our life. But to get it out of our life, you got to get it out of your house. You can't watch triple X-rated movies on video cassettes if you don't have them in your house. Christians do that, Delbert? What do you think? So that's the way we looked at the first part of that message. And I want to try to get enough today to finish the Feast of Unleavened Bread up so that we can go on into the Feast of First Fruits. Blessed are you. Happy you should be. You should be walking. You should be moving if you understand the spiritual implications of the Feast of Israel. And all that's on the first tape. Let's look in the book of Exodus chapter 12. We need to see where this feast originated. I'm going to hurriedly go through these things because I want you to see what leaven is in the New Testament and how Jesus warned us of leaven. Exodus 12, let's start with verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. And that's where we were the last time we talked about house cleaning. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be what? Cut off. Has that changed? An individual that continuously has sin in their life and will not deal with that sin in their life, what should happen with that individual in the New Testament? Now, I want our thinking to change. We are in a bless me world, a society, and God is not always a bless me God. I mean, He's a God of blessings. But there's another side. Verse 16. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be an holy, convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Now, let me just tell you what that's saying. There's two Sabbaths in this week. The first day is a holy convocation. The seventh day is a holy convocation. The Passover feast began. Then there was a Sabbath day. It went on for 7 days and it ended. Now, this is the only way you'll ever be able to understand how Jesus was in the ground 3 days. He says in Matthew 12, 39 and 40, he says this. He says, no sign will be given unto you except the sign that was given in Jonas. And he says, 3 days and three nights shall the Son of Man be in the earth as Jonas was in the whale's belly. So we get tied up with that and we think that Sabbath only means Saturday. It doesn't. Sabbath is other days of the week. It's holy convocation days. And if you will take this and look at, don't do it now because we don't have time, just jot this down and you can look at it your own selves. In John 19:31, you'll find there that there was a high day or a high feast day or a Sabbath day, an extra sabbatical day. And it'll help you understand how Jesus was literally in the ground 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't have time to do it, but if you will set the crucifixion up for Thursday rather than Friday, let Friday be this holy convocation day that we're reading here, then you'll understand how on Sunday he was resurrected from the dead on the first day of the week. So you can look at that. Verse 16. In the first day there shall be verse 17. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For this self-same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations for an ordinance until Jesus comes. Until Moses dies. How long? Forever. Okay, eternally. This is an eternal feast. This is something he wants us doing today. This goes on. This doesn't end with the coming of Jesus. We've got to bring it through the cross. We've got to understand what its implications and its spiritual realities are in the New Testament. But this feast did not end. Verse 18. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, at even ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, a fullness. The 7 is a completion number. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Didn't say go to hell, said be cut off. Whether he be a stranger or born in the land, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Now, I'm going to get on this a little bit more in just a few minutes. When we get into the leaven of Corinth, you'll see the cutting off, how an individual is cut off. And if, okay, using me, if I had perverseness and fornication in my life and I continued in it, would you allow me to continue to minister from this pulpit? What would you do? Cut me off. How would you cut me off? By ending my salary, ending my support, not having fellowship with me. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to take them to court and cast them out of the church. Just stop your fellowship with them. Stop your support. We'll look at that a little bit more in just a minute. Look at chapter 13, verse 3. There are several passages of scriptures that we could look at for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but this is going to give us plenty. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the land of the Lord brought you out from the place where there was no leavened bread to be eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee in. Now he brought them out to do what? To bring them in. He brought them out of the land of Egypt to bring them into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it's verse 23, tells us, the Lord God brought us out to bring us in. Why did He bring you out? Why did He bring you out of the world's systems and the world's ways and the world's mentality? Why? To translate you into another kingdom. He brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and has translated you into what? Kingdom of light, kingdom of His dear Son, kingdom of God. He's done the very same thing with you that He did with them. He brought you out to bring you in. But look what you find when you go into the land. Verse 5. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the immoralist, into the land of the pornographies, into the land of the abortions, into the land of the humanisms, into the land of the communist, into the land of the humanist. What do you find when you go into the land? Enemies. When He brought them out of Israel and He took them into the land, what'd they find? Oh, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, wasn't it? Boy, they just walked in there and just took over. What'd they find? First of all, you're going to have battles in your individual life. You've got giants. You've got things in your life that you must conquer. But us as a fellowship, the church as a whole, it goes in to conquer. Enemies of the kingdom of God are there. They're out there, people. You've heard about them this morning. They're in our school systems. They're coming in your television antenna, in on the cable. And He brought you out of that system to do what? Take you in and defeat the enemies. Abortion is an enemy of the kingdom of God. And I no longer pray, Lord, save that man that's going to go in there today and do those 20 abortions. Kill those 20 babies. I don't pray that way anymore. Don't get mad at me. Your presbytery doesn't pray that way anymore. I'm not taking it all by myself. We get in there every day and we curse it. Quiet, isn't it? Is that right, leadership? Okay. Now, He brought you out to take you in. Verse 6. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen in thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen in thee in all thy quarters. Verse 8. Why? And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of the system. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy, don't you curse like Jane's daddy does? Well, baby, one day the Lord saved me and He brought me out of all that mess. Daddy, why don't you have magazines in your house like Jane's daddy has? Well, baby, one day the Lord brought me out of all that mess. Daddy, why can't I listen to this kind of music? Daddy, why can't I watch this kind of television? Because you're in my house and my house doesn't have leaven in it. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy, do you pray? Why, Daddy, do you fast? Why, Daddy, do you seek God? Why, Daddy, do you read the Word? Because, baby, one day, God brought me out to take me in. Why should we keep an unleavened life? Why should we do it? So we can be a witness to our children. I listened to the tape. I didn't know what all I had said, and I lost my notes. So I got the tape, and I listened to what I said the first time about this feast. And you know what I heard myself say? I heard myself say, young people, I charge you with a charge. Usually I would charge the older folks, the adults, with this charge. But young people, I want to charge you with a charge. You keep the leaven out of your adults, out of your parents. Tell them, young people, that's wrong, Mama, that's wrong, Daddy. The older people, adults, know better, but we don't. We still do it. Praise God, He's raising a seed. He's raising a people. He's raising a generation. Verse 9, and it shall be for a sign unto thee and to thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For the strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Praise the Lord. Okay. The believer who keeps this feast will find that little by little, he sets aside himself to the Lord. There is total and complete separation from things that are leavened, and the believer will feed only upon Christ. Listen, the believer will feed only upon Christ, who is the believer's bread. Is there leaven in Christ? Is he the bread of life? You stop eating leavened bread. You stop putting in you the things that are leavened, the things of the world, the things of the system. You start putting into you Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in John 6, he says, I am the Word. In other words, he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. One real good way of eating his flesh is eating this Word. Oh, it's sweet to your mouth sometimes, but sometimes when it hits your belly, what happens to it? And it becomes a reality in your life. Oh, it comes sour. But the believer who keeps this feast walks, continuously converting and separating and coming out of Egypt and coming into the fullness of the things of God, moving on into perfection. Moving on into perfection. Principles of leaven, real quickly. I've done this last time, but I need to do it again before I bring us into the New Testament and try to capsule all that we're going to look at in this feast. What is leaven? Well, it's a little ball of sourdough. And this little ball of sourdough is kneaded or mixed into a lump of fresh dough. And in given time, silently, mysteriously, secretively, it works. After enough time has passed, what happens to that new lump? The whole lump is just like that little ball that went into it. The whole lump is leavened. It works slowly. It works secretively and silently. And it works mysteriously. We looked at all those things, and I just don't want to get into them right now. Little things in your life, little things in your home, little things you allow to go on, don't hurt anything, or does it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little thing. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Somebody told me, after I had ministered that message, somebody told me, said, Delbert, I got something in the mail just to show you what you're saying is so true. I got something in the mail, and I shouldn't have kept it. I should have burned it. He said, but I put it on a shelf, and every time I'd walk by it, it would call me, woo me. And I'd take it and I'd look at it. He says, finally one day, we burned it. He says, but you know what it was doing to me? It was leavening me. It's causing my mind to be just like that. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All right. The thing that you must remember about the principle of leaven is that a little bit goes in, but it changes the entire lump to be just like that little bit that went in. That's the principle of leaven. Little bit. So let's now look in the New Testament and see some thoughts about evil leaven. And then I want to close it with the positive leaven, pure leaven. Mark chapter 8. Verse 15. If you got a edition Bible with red lettering, what letter, what color is this? What color? Okay. Verse 15. So Jesus is speaking here, and he says, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The first one I want to look at is the leaven of Herod. I knew he was going to do it. Herod. What was Herod's leaven? Good? Money? You can read this. We're not going to turn to it because if I turn to it, I'll read it. But in 6, in Matthew, Mark chapter 6, verse 14 through 28, you read there the story of where Herod got John the Baptist. He arrested John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was preaching Man, I mean, he was really letting Herod have it. Herod had married his brother's wife, and all sorts of fornications and things were happening. So Herod got John the Baptist so he could shut him up. And the first verse, I think it's verse 14 of that sixth chapter, says that Herod knew not him. Herod didn't know Jesus, but it says that he had heard of him. There's a lot of people in the world today I find like that. They don't know Jesus, but they've heard of him. And what Herod does is he comes against ministry. He took John the Baptist, put him in prison, locked him up. He gave way to the lust of the flesh, which was the dance of his wife's daughter, Salome, and to the wiles of his wife, which is a type of a soul realm. He gave way to his soul and his flesh. And what did he do to old John the Baptist? Whacked the boy's head off. Killed ministry. The leaven of Herod is a leaven that really doesn't know Jesus, but is out and set to destroy ministry. I think we have some of that today. What about you? I think there are some Herods in our society. Takes the head of the ministry. The second leaven I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus warns us, first of all, beware of the leaven of Herod. You get around people that's constantly talking about ministry, that's constantly downing ministry. What will you find yourself doing? Starting to talk about ministry. Starting to down ministry. See, a little leaven does what? Leaven's the whole lump. Okay. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet remember, do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves and the 5,000s and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the seven loaves and the 4,000s and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the what? Doctrine or teachings of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So I want to say Sadducees. Now we'll get the Pharisees next, if I can keep this board up here. They were sad, you see. Sadducees. Now, the doctrine of the Sadducees went like this. No spiritual activity in our fellowship meetings. We have a solemn assembly. No spiritual things. They didn't believe in spiritual things. They didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in life. See, to some people, resurrection is just coming out of the ground. But to me, resurrection is never having to die. I want to be alive and remain when he comes. But they didn't believe in any of that. That was the leaven of the Sadducees. No wonder they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the supernatural, did not believe in the spiritual things, did not believe in the angels, did not believe in the resurrection of the dead or overcoming death. Now, this speaks of today's fundamentalist. And it's not until you understand what the Sadducees and what Jesus warned them about that you can beware of it yourself. Beware! When you hear a minister speak and he starts speaking against the things of the Spirit, when he says there is no activity of the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, beware. Beware when he says there's really no angels. Beware when God's not healing today. That was just for the first church in the book of Acts. Beware. That's the Sadducee. For today's fundamentalist. Get saved, get water baptized, or maybe sprinkled. Period. That's it. That's all there is to it. Is that leaven? Is it? Yes, it's leaven. It is leaven. And it must be looked at as leaven. God wants you to go on from Passover. He wants you to go into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He wants you to go to the Feast of First Fruits. He wants you to even go to the Feast of Pentecost. Can you imagine that? But are we through with number four? Is there 5, 6, and 7 yet to go? Moving on into what? What are we really talking about? We're moving from initial salvation all the way through into what? Perfection. Tabernacles. Living and dwelling with Him forever. Sadducees 11 centers around human reasoning. Human reasoning. Number 3. Leaven of the Pharisees. Now we've already seen 2 scriptures that dealt with the leaven of the Pharisees, but I want to show you one more because it's going to minister to you today. Luke chapter 12. I mean, this is like today's or yesterday's newspaper. Be like today's if there was one that, you know, was fresh today. Today you get yesterday's news. Leaven of the Pharisees. Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say, who did he say this to first? His own, his disciples. You're going to hear it first. The disciples always hear it first. He says unto his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. Hypocrites. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He blessed them, didn't he? Bless you. Woe unto you. I would shimmy in my shoes if Jesus said, woe unto you, Delbert Young. Hypocrites. What does hypocrite mean? Okay. Look it up and you'll find that it really means play acting. Play acting. And it means this. If you know the words, you can play the part. Play acting. Hypocrite was a stage actor and they wore a mask, and inside the mask was a device that would inaugurate the voice.
No, you know what I mean?
Hypocrites. Give you something interesting to look at. Do this sometime. We really don't have time today. We will. We'll be doing this. If you look at Matthew chapter 20 through verse 25, you will find that what Jesus is doing there time after time after time after time is cursing the system. The old covenant system, he says, is coming to an end. The temple will be destroyed. That system is going to end. The day of the Lord will appear. It's coming to a conclusion. And time after time after time, he says it. Did it happen? What happened in AD 70? Did God crush that system? Did he destroy that temple? It's over. And time after time after time today, it's the same thought. He's going to crush it. He's going to destroy it. But look at verse 3. Verse 2. Verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. People come to me today, and they come to many of you because you tell me about it. Boy, they just don't understand what's happening in the Christian world today. Somebody's talking to me about this at work, and somebody's talking to me about this at home, and my husband don't understand, and they just don't understand what's going on. Well, if you'll just read them that verse, listen, anything that anyone does is going to be uncovered. And it will begin in the house of the Lord first. So what's happening today is everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And you better have your house in order when that shaking begins. It's going to be uncovered and revealed from the housetop. Is that as present as today's newspaper? God's doing something, folk. He's doing something. He is doing it. Whether we want to be a part of it or not is irrelevant. He's going to do it. If there's sin in my life, guess what's going to happen? There it is. Better get it out, Hattner. Better get the leaven out of my life. Better make sure that I'm clean. My house is clean. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. In chapter 23 also of Matthew, it's interesting, they says that they say and do not. They say and do not. Pharisees say and do not. Did all the correct things. They tithed, they fasted, they prayed, they dressed right, they won souls, believed in the fullness. They believed in the Spirit, they believed in angels, they believed in the resurrection. But they were only saying, and they were not what they were saying. They did, but they were not were. Okay? There's a difference in saying it and doing it. Jesus said this, they were whited walls, whited sepulchers. Pretty on the outside. Man had the right words, wearing the right mask, had their words just expounded, looked upon as whited sepulchers. But inside, what are they? Dead. Rotten. Dead. Pharisees. Boy, I get into some heavy messages. All right, now let's move on to the leaven of Corinth, and you'll see where I was talking about a while ago. 1 Corinthians 5. Is this right on, or am I doing something with the Word of God? Am I just preaching the Word? Okay. Fourth type. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Judy's gone. They always say, man, when she's out of town, I just go on and on. This was really supposed to be a real short message. 1 Corinthians 5. If you read 1 Corinthians 5, you'll find another leaven. You'll find a leaven that's inside the church, that's inside the assembly. And in 1 Corinthians 5, let's work our way through this. Let's take a few minutes and just be patient with me. Verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is a fornicator or a fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up. What causes this puffing up? What? Pride, yeah. What are we talking about? Leaven. What does leaven do to a lump? Puffs it up. He's going to say in a few minutes, your puffing up is not good. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Bless him, Lord. Huh? Verse 3. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have what? But we're not supposed to judge, are we? That's a fallacy. You see, as we move down through here, there are things that the church is to judge. Do you know that we are supposed to judge those that are in our congregations? Now, we don't judge if you're saved or if you're not saved. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not going to judge you if you eat meat that's offered to idols. Go home and have your glass of wine. I don't care. I'm not going to judge those silly incidental things. But if there's a fornicator in our midst and I go to him and I say, stop it, stop it, stop it, and he won't, what do I do? Do I judge it? You see, you're judging all the time. If you're raising children, guess what you're having to do nearly every day? Do some judging. Okay. Paul says, I've already judged this thing as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. Now look what he says. In whose name is he doing it? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ministered a couple of weeks ago about prayer. And it was from the horns of the altar is what I called it. It was from Revelation chapter 9. And we looked at that and we saw that from the altar of incense came the request. And God spoke from the horns. He answered the request that was given and ushered up into heaven from that altar. And do you know what he did? What did he do? Bless the earth. Who was here? Do you remember what he did? Did he bless the earth? Or did he pour out judgment upon the earth? Judgment. Judgment. And what I was thrusting and trying to get across to us was this thought, is that I believe we're missing something in our prayer. I believe we're missing something in New Testament prayer. He says, when you come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be with you in spirit also, and by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. How you want Paul to pray for you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How did they minister to this individual? Satan is an instrument of God. They use him to bring such a one unto repentance. Now let's read on and see if we're in context of what we're teaching here. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Are we supposed to keep the feast of unleavened bread? Huh? Help me. This is a good message. Help me. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in the epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, with the covets and the extortioners and the idolaters, for them must you needs go out of the world. He says, you know not to do that. You know not to mess around with the worldly people that are mixed up in all these things. He says, you know not to do that. He says, but what I'm talking to you about is verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. Cut him off. Now, did we just bring Exodus 12 and 13 into New Testament understanding? Is that a cutting off? There was a case not too long ago where a woman was in the church and there was fornications and things in her life, and so they literally just told her not to come back anymore. I don't really see that, because in the day in which we live, we've got to use some wisdom. So they made it public, and the woman just really took them to court and cleaned their plow. What Paul says here, what I'm seeing here, is just don't fellowship with them. Just don't have time with them. How many of you have ever done something to someone? You didn't mean to, but it ended up that you really hurt somebody, and you really in tune. What you did is you hurt their feelings. Maybe you did something really bad to them, and they're really angry at you, and so you try to go to them and talk to them, and man, they just won't talk to you. They just won't have anything to do with you. So you call them on the telephones and they won't talk with you. They hang up. And so your feelings get hurt. And man, if there was some way that you could make it right, you would. Has anybody experienced that in here besides me? Huh? I remember Bonnie and Amy were in a little squabble one time. And one would call one and she'd hang up and the other would call the other. And they were buddies, man. I mean, they're close. And their feelings was hurt because the other one wouldn't talk to them. I can relate to that. And you see, the other one would do whatever was necessary, to reconcile and get right back with that fellowship. I see that in this scripture. Let's finish reading and then I'll tell you how this story ends. Verse 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? Do we judge? According to the scriptures that we're reading, do we judge sin as a body of Christ? We must. We must. Verse 13. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, the story ends, and you can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right in there. He says, all right, he says, you did it. You did well. Now go get such a one. He's repented. He's come into godly sorrow. Go out and get him now and bring him back in and love him. He says, you were obedient to me. You did what the Lord said. You did what the Word said. Now he's repented and there's godly sorrow worked into his life. He won't do it again. Go get him and bring him back in. That's the church. And just read 1 through 13. It'll give you what we're going to say. But I'll just read one scripture, verse 9. What does he say? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Was there leaven in Galatia? There's leaven in Corinth. There's leaven in Galatia. All right. We saw that this one was fleshly indulgences and things and sin. What is the leaven in Galatia? Okay. That's really what it is. You know, you'll know when I say it. What it is it's the law. The leaven of law. The whole epistle about Galatia is how you've been brought into liberty. And you've left the law. You've come into liberty. But he says, use not your liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, leaving the law, you go on into Christ. You don't have to walk in the circumcision of the flesh any longer, but walk in the circumcision of the heart. You come out of the leaven of the law. Well, the leaven of the law is simply this, is that in the Old Testament there was Moses, and that's the law. In the New Testament there's Jesus. Moses was over his house, Jesus is over his house. And what Galatia's doing in this leaven is trying to mix these two together. That's leaven. That's leaven. Mixing the law and legalisms with... It's very difficult for a pastor to minister both sides of holiness without sounding like he's legalistic. But there is a holy lifestyle that I am ordained to call you into and exhort you to live and have. Not to give you license to sin. That's not liberty. You become under bondage in that. But what you have is the law of Moses and then the liberty of Christ. And what Galatia was doing was trying to mix these. Law and grace. They were trying to mix the Old Testament or the Old Covenant with the New Testament, bondage and liberty, works and faith, death and life. So you have then the leaven then of Galatia. Which of these are the worst? Is there a worst? They're all leaven. Will they all end up with a leavened lump? Say that again, I got a little tongue tied. Will they all end up with a leavened lump? Yeah, every one of them. Every one of them ends up with a leavened lump. So you're to be careful of all of these, but there's one leaven that I want to end with real quick, and you don't even turn to it. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. Now, how can that be? All this is negative. All this is pessimistic. All this is bad. But there is another lump that's getting leavened. And it's getting leavened with the kingdom of God. There's a generation, there's a seed that's coming forth now. And they're leavened with the pure leaven of the kingdom of God. And you know what? They're going to go into the world, and guess what's going to happen to the world? Be leavened just like that lump is. There is a leaven of the kingdom of God that Jesus says the kingdom of God is likened unto leaven. And a little bit of leaven, a little bit of this seed, a little bit of this generation can go into a whole society and change that whole society to be just like them. Is that all right? That's what we're to be, leaven with a kingdom. Sum it up. God is asking a people to keep the feast in the feast perfection. There will be and are a people separating from the evil leaven of Egypt, coming out to come into the promise. This people separating from evil leaven, becoming pure leaven, are kingdom leaven. The true Israel of God permeates and causes the world to be covered with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How else will it ever happen? How else? We sang it. We sang it, didn't we? How the glory of the Lord was going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How can that happen? The effects of leaven. And it starts covering. Starts covering. There's a generation, there's a seed, who are seeking the things of God more than any other generation ever has. They're leavened with the kingdom. So you have leavens that you can choose from. All these that I've listed are the leaven of the kingdom. One comes against things. One comes against the things and the enemies of the kingdom of God. And one really encourages those things. Let's stand.